Well, this morning, believe it or not, we're going to actually continue in our sermon series. How about that? We've been doing this for a couple months now. We've been doing our expository verse by verse, precept upon precept, amazing, beautiful, sometimes a little scary journey through the book of 1 John. Now, last week, we encountered the assurance of God's Spirit. Now, Jesus has given us the church, the Holy Spirit, to lead us into the fullness of life in Him, the fullness of life in Christ. We were reminded in 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. And this is how we know, this is how we have the assurance that Christ lives in us, that we're truly living in the fullness of Jesus. How? How do we have this assurance? How do we know? We know it by the Spirit. That's a capital S. Notice that. We know it by the Spirit that He gave us. And the Holy Spirit that Jesus gave us, opens up our spiritual ears so that we can actually hear the voice of God. And when we hear the voice of God, that leads us to be those prophetic people then that are declaring God's word, which we know doesn't return void. That's pretty exciting. You know, one thing I talked about last week in the sermon, if you didn't hear it, by the way, go out online and listen to it. One thing I talked about is that reality that we've been given the Holy Spirit and the ability to actually hear the voice of God and then speak the voice of God, that should drive us to the place of prayer. Why? Because it's in the place of prayer that we quiet ourselves before the Lord and we actually get to hear the still small voice of God speaking to us. And after we hear that voice, it will prompt us to rise up from that place of prayer and to step out as those prophetic people that are declaring the word of the Lord to the people in our community that need to hear God's good news. What a joy to be part of this. This is our lives in Christ Jesus. We're going to continue our journey, though, this morning. And as we do, John actually goes back to one of his favorite themes. It's that truth that drives his life, that truth that drives his ministry, his message, his thoughts, and even his dreams. John is going to take us back to love. You know John loves love. He lived in it. He was the disciple that Jesus loved. And so it's no wonder that John once again takes us back to this important topic, the love of God. But what is love? I want to start things out by having us watch this short video.
Love. When you hear the word love, what's the first thing that pops into your head? For some of you, it might be your husband or your wife. For others, it might be having your own kids to play with eventually. Some of you are sitting awkwardly because you feel your girlfriend's stare penetrating through the back of your head saying, "Yeah, Billy, what is the first thing?" Some of you are thinking about your dreams and success in the future. But is this what love is, really? Where did the idea of love really come from? Where did the concept that love can bring us security and happiness originate? I think if we really get down to the nitty-gritty, we'll find that it's because God loved us first. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, right, like that's actually where it all began. But look at this. Adam and Eve, before the deception, before the fall, it's where it all springs out of. We had to know God's love. We were safe. We were worry-free. I mean, they ran around without clothes on. They had to have known what God's love was. And it was enough. Since then, we've taken this idea of love, we've made it into something less true. Nowadays, we associate love with a variety of chick flicks, where you have a boy, and you have a girl, and they fall deeply in love. Then, boy messes up. Girl leaves boy, and boy has to win girl back, proving his love. We've gone far enough to even couple love with sexuality. also found in chick flicks. Or even still, we affiliate love with something much less romantic or pretty. We use it to define our relationships by what someone can give us or how they can make us happy. I know you're thinking, man, you are way off the mark, but really, am I? How many times do we hear about couples that break up because they can't give each other enough time or effort, or because they can't stand how the other's treating them? And what about the infamous one that we all know? I deserve better. So, where did love go wrong? When did we turn it from something that was supposed to be given and shared into something that we feel like we need to receive and hoard? Maybe if we were to take that step into this unknown love, we would know the joy, the sorrow, the security, the insecurity of what it means to be loved, purely and wholly. And you know what? We are. You are. You are loved by the one who designed you, the one who painted each freckle on your face, the one who tweaked each personality quirk, the one who counted every single strand of hair on your head. You are freely given this love that doesn't know envy, boasting, or pride, a love that springs from a pure heart and a clear conscience, and it clings to what is good. So we come back to that first step. You can either stay here, jumping from one temporary love to another, or you can find love forever.
So John wants to talk to us about love this morning. Love can be complicated, can be hard to understand. For many, it's hard to describe. What is love? Where does it come from? What does love look like? Those are going to be three questions that we're going to examine. We're going to look to God's Word for the answers. The Apostle John understands. He has the answers, and he also is going to bring us face to face with our next assurance this morning, and that is the assurance of God's love. That's the title of today's message, the assurance of God's love. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. 1 John 4, beginning in verse 7. Let's continue our journey here. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Man, I love the Word of God. I love it because it reminds me that God doesn't want us to live in the dark. God doesn't want us to live a life of guessing and wondering. God isn't playing hide and seek with us. Rather, God has given us His Word, and He's given us, as we talked about last week, His Spirit to lead us into all truth. As it says in the Gospel of John 16, verse 13, He's given us His Word, His Spirit, to lead us into all truth, because God wants us to know truth. He wants us to know these answers. We can know what love is. God wants us to know. We can know where love comes from. And we can know what love looks like. So let's dive right into those three questions. Question number one, where does love come from? John gives us the answer, the revelation. Point number one today, true love comes from God. We find that in 1 John 4, verse 7. Love comes from God. John has established this truth that love has its source in God and in God alone. But let's not miss it here. You see, love isn't simply like a creation of God, which he then wraps up in a pretty little box for us, put a bow on, and then sends us in the mail for Christmas. That's not simply just a gift from God. Rather, love literally comes from God. Kind of like heat emanates from a fire, or like light projects from the sun. True love always originates with God. Watch this video of a sunrise. Check this out. It goes from dark. Can't see much, can you? Something's showing up on the scene, though. It's the sun. S-U-N. What is the sun bringing? It's bringing light. Can't help but bring light. It's just what happens when the sun shows up. Okay, that's good. I want to show another picture here. You got a picture up here of a fire. Now, we see the flames, right? With a fire, there are flames. What do you think of when you see flames? Heat. Like you can get burned, right? Because heat emanates from fire. On Thursday night, we sat by a fire with a Lot family. And, you know, we're from Phoenix, and so it's November, and it got like in the low 70s, high 60s when the sun went down, and so we were all cold. It was dark out, and it was cold, and so what did we need? We needed a fire so that we could see and so that we could warm up. We needed some heat, and so we started a fire. We also needed the fire and the heat that it generated because we wanted to roast some marshmallows, which we did. Marshmallows are a lot better roasted, kind of nicely browned, not the whole put them in and burn them and then blow them out. That's gross. That's disgusting. But heat. We needed heat. And so we started a fire. Without the fire, no heat. Heat is a direct derivative of a fire. If we want heat, what do we have to have? Got to have the fire. You know, even the sincere desire and the heartfelt emotions for heat that night weren't going to produce heat. We needed a fire. And so we started a fire. Kind of works that way in our lives, too, with love, you see. Attempts at love that initiate from any other source, even from the human heart and from our emotions and our own desires that we have within us. Any kind of attempt at love that originates from anything other than God is always going to fall short. It's going to miss the mark. It's not going to produce the heat, if you know what I'm saying. It just won't. The only way we can rightly love, the only way we can know love, the only way that we can give love is to first receive love from where? Yeah, from who? From God. From God. And so we understand that true love comes from God. That's the answer to our first question. True love, where does it come from? It comes from God and from God alone. But we still have some other questions. The next question is, well, what is love though? If love comes from God, let's talk about what is love. A lot of people have a lot of different answers to this question. Let's listen to a few of them here.
Good evening. Good morning. Welcome. Whichever service you're at, good morning. We're about to ask a few questions about what is love. I think I see a few people coming. Watch, watch.
Love is taking care of people without conditions.
Love is love. You gotta love people. Love one another.
Feeling for somebody, taking care of them, wanting to take care of them.
I wouldn't know. I'm 14.
You feel alive when you feel it. When you don't have it, you feel like you're dead.
That's a good question.
So, what is love to you? More than just a smile on your face?
My girlfriend.
Oh, that was a good answer. Some extra points there.
What is love to you? Like, what does it feel like?
It's being away from somebody for 2 minutes and missing them already. It's feeling goosebumps when you hug them. It's just intimate. It's secure.
Kindness, tenderness, joy, happiness, compassion, all of those things.
What is love? Hey, if I had an accent like that guy, would you guys like think it was really cool or something like that? All right, anyway. Anyway, I won't do that. Don't worry, I won't do that. Mankind attempting to figure out what is love, and we have all kinds of different answers, and I like that little girl who just shrugged. I don't know. You know, I don't know. Mankind trying to find love, but we don't have to wonder what love is because Scripture is very clear. God is love. That's the second point of today's message, the assurance of God's love. Point number two, God is love. It says that in verse 8 of our scripture this morning. God is love. It also repeats later on in that same chapter in verse 16, God is love. It repeats for guys like me who need to hear it a couple times and be reminded, Eric, God is love. Okay, it's been a few moments. Let me tell you again, God is love. And that's what love is. God is love. It's different than the kind of love that we typically embrace or think about. The kind of love that we think about is usually kind of a responsive kind of love. You know what I'm talking about. I love you because you do this for me or do that for me or because you say this or make me feel this way. That kind of responsive kind of love. But God doesn't love that way. It's a whole nother kind of love. God loves me because he is he. Hear what I'm saying? Not because I am I. God loves me because he is he. God loves because God is love. He is love. He doesn't turn love off. He is love. It's not responsive. It's who he is. God is love. But let's talk about this reality. I think we need to because mankind kind of twists things and takes things often in wrong directions. And we need to make sure we're grounded in truth here. That's why the Lord gave us his word. So we have truth to walk in. God is love, but we got to recognize that Scripture doesn't say that love is God. Hear what I'm saying there? God is love, but love isn't God. In other words, we don't worship love. There are some people who do. You go up to Sedona, they worship all kinds of things. It also says in 1 John 1:5 that God is light. And you got a lot of people worshiping light thinking that they're worshiping God. But no, it's the other way around. God is light, we worship God. God is love, we worship him. God is love. God is love. I like how A.W. Tozer describes the precept that God is love. Let's check this out. It's on the screen. When it says God is love, Tozer says, it means that love is an essential attribute of God's being. It means that in God is the summation of all love, so that all love comes from God. And it means that God's love, we might say, conditions all other attributes so that God can do nothing except he does it in love. God is love. And God demonstrated his nature, his love, in a most remarkable way. So let's answer the final question this morning. I know you're thinking, man, this is early. He's going to get all three points like this. We're going to get out of here like that. All right. I'm glad you think that. Anyway, we're going to answer the final question, though, this morning. What does love look like? And here's the answer. Jesus is the perfect expression of God's love. We know where love comes from. It comes from God. We know what love is. God is love. And what does love look like? Jesus. I just need to see love. I just got to know love. Jesus. Jesus is the perfect expression of God's love. Let's continue. 1 John 4, verses 9 and 10. Let's check this out. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is love. There are a lot of expressions for love. Here's a picture of some of those expressions. You know, guys trying to show a girl that he loves her, right? So he gives her flowers and chocolates. How many women like flowers and chocolates? This is your chance. Raise your hand. Your husband, boyfriend might be here right now. Raise your hand. All right. An expression of love. See the little heart box and everything? That's so cute. There are other ways that we express love, right? We might write a poem or a song for somebody that we love. Jake wrote a song for his girlfriend, Jamie. I wrote a song for Velvet. That was over 25 years ago. I think she's due another one here soon. Ways that we express our love. Sing it. Oh, no. Not this morning, Bob. Not this morning. We'll express our love with a hug, or if we're married, with a kiss, right? We'll do that kind of stuff. We'll show love and express love with jewelry. You know, you'll get that kind of locket with the heart that's kind of broken in half, and you get one half, and she gets the other, and ooh, look, we're together, so we put the locket together, and we're expressing our love for one another. Or you give that locket with a picture of your mom in it, you know, to her. Okay, that one probably doesn't go over well with everyone. Maybe some of you it will. We express our love with a wedding ring. There are many ways to express love, but God, who is love, remember, God who is love expressed love by sending his only Son, Jesus, into this broken world. He didn't send his Son into the broken world to be a celebrity. He sent his Son, Jesus, into this broken world to be a sacrifice. Another word that we use is to be a propitiation of our sins. What does this mean to us? Why is this such an amazing expression, the perfect expression of love? It means that Jesus came to bear our punishment for our sins. Thus, he removes the wrath of God from us. That's love. God removing his wrath from us. His Son Jesus taking his wrath upon himself. The perfect expression of real love. We got to let that sink in. Again, I talk about communion every single Sunday and the importance of taking it. Because when we go to that communion table, when we remember his body broken, his blood spilled for us, that's what we're remembering. The perfect expression of the love of God in his Son, Jesus, who took the wrath of God for us. The greatest manifestation of the love of God is God's unilateral action to satisfy his own wrath. Isn't that amazing? It says in John 3:16, you're familiar with it, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus. He expressed his love through giving his Son, Jesus, that whoever would believe upon him would not perish, but have everlasting eternal life. This is love. This is what love looks like. Jesus. If you ever feel like you've been away from love for a long time or haven't experienced love for a long time, you need to look at the face of Jesus. You need to get in his presence. Because he is love, the perfect expression of God's love sent for you. Here's another exciting verse describing the nature of God's love. We're going to jump back to Romans, written by the Apostle Paul, Romans 5, verse 8. And Paul writes, "But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." We were still sinners, but Christ died for us. In John 3:16, in this passage in Romans 5:8, we find no conditions that are placed on God's love for us. No conditions. God doesn't say, "Hey, as soon as you clean up your act, I'm going to show you some love." He doesn't do that. I may say, "Kids, as soon as you do your dishes, you know," but anyway, that's another story. God didn't say, "Hey, I'll sacrifice my son if you promise to love me." It didn't go that way. While we were still sinners, enemies, it says, enemies of God, while we were still sinners, he showed his love for us. He demonstrated love. He expressed love. He sent his one and only son, Jesus, who took the full wrath of God upon himself. That's love. God is love, and that's how love is expressed. God wants us to know that his love is unconditional. He wants you to know that. He wants you to be reminded of that. Yeah, you've heard that before. Yeah, I know his love's unconditional. But can you let it sink in again today and be fresh in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit? That God's love for you is unconditional. God loves because it's his nature to love. God loves you right now because God is love. That's who he is. That's what he does. What did you do? He loves you. Are there consequences to what you did? Yeah, there are. But that doesn't change the reality that God is love. Always has been, always will be. And what he has for us is love. And he longs, so much so that he sent his son Jesus. He longs for us to embrace his love, to accept his love, to live in, through, and out of his love. That's what he wants because he is love. That's his nature. This unconditional kind of love, it's also called agape love. And this agape kind of love comes only from God, once again, because God is love. It's perfect, perfect love that comes from our perfect God. And he has it for you right now. Why is God sharing this truth with us today, with his children today? Because he wants us to live in his love. He wants us to live in the assurance of God's love. God wants us to know his love. You see, the person who attempted suicide needs to know God's love. The person who's been in trouble with the law and thinks they've blown it, their life is over, they're done, God wants them to know his love. That person who had a personal failure in life needs to know God's love. That person who's been through an abortion, you need to know God's love. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. That person who's struggling with self-esteem, feeling less than, you need to know that God loves you. He is love. He is for you. The person who's been through some difficult times in life, maybe even at work, you need to know God's love. And God wants you to know his love today, right now. "But I did this, I did that right." Yeah, we all did. That's why God expressed his love through his son, Jesus. Charles Spurgeon told the story of a preacher who was walking in the countryside. He stopped by an old farmhouse to talk with a farmer and really to get a drink of water. And the old farmer who lived there went out to talk to the preacher. And as they were talking, the preacher noticed that the barn had a weather vane on it that was spinning around in the wind. And on the weather vane were the words, "God is love." Now, the preacher, he said to the man, "I don't think that's a very good way to talk about God's love. Are you saying that God's love is wishy-washy and changes depending on the way the wind blows?" "No, no," said the farmer. "That weather vane is actually saying, no matter which way the wind blows, God is love." And that's the word that God has for us today, and really every day. The wind is blowing. We all know it. We all feel it. It's happening around us. Life happens, right? There's that saying. The winds are blowing. But no matter which way the winds are blowing, the truth remains. God is love. That will never change. He always has been. He always will be. And He wants you to know His love. He wants you to know the expression of His love, Jesus. That's His heart's desire for you today. Every person needs to understand this. In good times and in bad times, on good days and on bad days, we need to know that God loves us. Even when we don't love ourselves. I've been there. Even when we don't love ourselves, God loves us. He can't help it. God is love. He is love. This is why the Apostle Paul prayed this prayer. It's found in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. Check out this prayer. This is God's heart for the church. This is a prayer that's being prayed over the believers in Ephesus. This is a prayer that the Holy Spirit has for us in the Word of God, because He wants us to also be alive in love in this way. Check this out. "And I pray that you," and I want you to receive this as a prayer being prayed over you even right now, over all of us. "I pray that you, being rooted and established in works," no. "I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, that you may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you've been filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." This is the heart of God for us, for His people, for His children, for His church. Understanding and receiving the love of God. God wants that for you today. God wants us to know His love, because when we know His love, when we live out of the reality of His love, we become powerful instruments of His love, of His grace, and of His kingdom in this world. Do you realize that? When we have fully embraced and when we're fully alive in the love of God, There's a supernatural power that rises up within us that actually can change people around us, can actually change even a room full of people, maybe a community, maybe even a nation, when the people of God are filled up with the love of God. You see, love isn't just an emotion. It isn't just a happy thought. And isn't something that we just kind of experience, and then the effect of love just kind of stops there with our heart, with our emotions, with our spirit. No, love is powerful. And I want us to check out what happens when we come alive in God's love. It's found in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, beginning of verse 12. Again, the same person, don't read ahead, just a second, but you can leave it up there. The same apostle, the same disciple whom Jesus loved, recorded this statement by Christ Himself. Why? There's this connection, this connection between love and faith and the fullness of God and the life with Christ Jesus. It all goes together. God doesn't compartmentalize things. It all flows together. Check this out. This is Jesus talking here. He says, I tell you the truth. He's speaking to his disciples, his followers, his church. That's you. That's me. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me. Now stop for a moment. What does it mean to have faith in Christ? It's to know who he is. It's to know that he's the perfect expression of God's love. Faith in Christ is to receive him, to receive that perfect expression of God's love. And Jesus says, I tell you the truth, anyone who gets me like that, who really knows me, anyone who has faith in me in that way will do what I have been doing. But he takes it further. He says, in fact, he will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. This passage right here is a picture of the power of love. I know the Huey Lewis song, that's the power of love, right? But this is a picture of the power of love and how God wants to use his love, his perfect expression of love, Christ in us, and through us. This is why it's important that we can become fully alive in Christ Jesus. So that we can be about these amazing kingdom things. Knowing God in this way, that we would actually be so filled with the love of God that he would entrust us then and we would be supernaturally empowered then to actually be doing the same things that Jesus did when he walked on this earth. That's amazing. That's mind-blowing. But that's the power of love. That love working in us and through us would actually cause us to be able to change things around us? Yeah. That's what happens when a people get filled up with God who is love. It's the power of love. It's supernatural and it's what God has designed us not only to experience, but to live in and to give out to others. Are you excited like I'm excited? And it's free. It's free. The price has been paid by Jesus. It's ours. We're going to dive deeper into this reality next week as we continue our journey through 1 John. We're going to look at the assurance of love's effect on our lives. But I want to respond this morning to what God has just rocked our world with and reminded us of, shaken us up with. I want to do that by first standing up. This morning, the Holy Spirit just challenged me to challenge you with embracing this truth of God, his love, with an assignment for all of us, for our church family. And that is that when we wake up in the morning, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about after your shower and you're all dressed. I'm talking about when you come to. You know what I'm saying? When you come to. Some of you, you know, that's like at 3 in the morning. And others of you, you know, that might not be till noon for some of you teenagers or whatever, especially on a Saturday, right? But when we wake up in the morning, I believe what the Holy Spirit is saying is meditate on this passage of Scripture, 1 John 4, 7 through 10. Think on these things. Let it sink in. Let it be the foundation that love comes from God, that God is love, and that Jesus is the perfect expression of love, and he's been given to us. Let that be the foundation, the springboard for our entire day. I'm talking about before you get dressed, before you even wipe the sleepy eye dust out of your eyes. I'm saying first things first. I believe we're to test the Lord in this, and we're going to see a different day, a different week that's rooted and grounded and established and lived out of the love of God. You guys want to join me in that? Let's do it, church.